Come fly with Global Air Force.
Now, I can be a little spiteful sometimes, and I can't say that I was being led by the Lord here, but I spun that kid around and yelled, "All of you, stop! Turn around! Look at what God has done for this boy in spite of you!" I'm convinced it was the only time that church came together in one mind and in one accord. Everyone stopped and turned in unison, staring. Just dead silence with gaping mouths. It was hilarious. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I see this walker go flying in the air and land on the stage. On the other side, this cane went spinning. And like little children, they all began crying out to God and started running to the front. "Jesus! Jesus! Jesus!" We were there until about 2:45 that afternoon. We had a good old-fashioned Pentecostal revival meeting complete with tremendous miracles and healings. God danced among his people for hours. Hey, forget about Wyatt's cafeteria.
Your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I've really been blessed by Dr. James Maloney's book, The Dancing Hand of God. In his book, he relates many events that's happened in his life and other people's lives that is relevant to today. It shows us in this book that God is interested in us. He is willing and able to help us intercede and intercept our lives in a real way, a way that we need. And I want to share that with you today. So you listen and see how this can apply to your life. Now, we have repeated these stories in different ways. These events happen, and they can change the way you think. And my friend, it can turn your respect back to God and who He is today. Every time I hear these stories, it's like experiencing Jesus' touch. I just can't seem to get enough of them.
Today I want to read The Cross-Eyed Boy, and I'm relating the story as if I was Dr. James Maloney himself. Here we go. In a retirement community in California, I was asked to minister at a particular church where the pastor himself was in his 70s. He had been advertising a couple weeks before I was coming to hold a miracle service on Sunday morning. "Bring out the sick," it said. "Bring the afflicted. Brother Maloney is going to share his testimony. If anyone needs baptism in the Holy Spirit, come on out. The power of God will be here." Of course, he later told me that God had not really powerfully moved in the church for many, many years. So there was hardly any expectation for the miraculous among the elderly congregation of about 100 people. I actually found it quite comical as we were sitting on the platform that fine Sunday morning. The dear pastor turned to me and he whispered, "Brother Maloney, we're so appreciative that you're here, and we have been advertising the last couple weeks. We want to give you plenty of opportunity for ministry. We want miracles and healings, but we also want to hear about your testimony. So take a few minutes and share that. Because, well, there's some people here that are not saved, and they're all pretty old, and many of them don't have too many years left. Several need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so you can minister to them for that as well." Sure, I smiled, of course. He went on to say, now you're going to turn the service, we are going to turn the service over to you about 11:20, and you'll need to be done about 10 afternoon, okay? Oh, that's absolutely impossible. How can I do all that in less than an hour? Well, you got to realize, he said, that at 10 after 12, it doesn't matter who's preaching. I mean, Jesus himself could be on the platform. They are going to get up and walk out on you. Why? This suddenly wasn't sounding too good to me. He said, because they're elderly and they don't move too quickly, and they have to beat the Sunday crowds down at Wyatt's cafeteria. I just shook my head as the pastor got up to start the praise and worship. Sure enough, at 12:10, halfway through my testimony, about 3/4 of the people stood up and began to walk out. The pastor was thoroughly embarrassed. How rude, I thought. I felt a flash of anger whiff through me, and I'll admit, it wasn't the righteous indignation of God, you know. It was me. I was just mad. Now, the only thing that saved me in this situation was that a lot of them had walkers and canes, so they moved very slowly toward the exits. But there was no way I was going to minister to anybody. So I shut my Bible and I sat down. I was just fuming. The pastor was muttering apologies. The elderly people were still shuffling toward the foyer. One of the few people remaining seated in the service was a boy about 10 years old. He and his younger brother were the only children in the whole church. I found out later their unsaved parents sent them. They lived up the road, and they sent them just to get rid of them for a few hours on a Sunday morning. They told them to go find a church, it didn't matter which one, and go to Sunday school. The boy and his little brother happened to walk into this church several weeks earlier and became the entire youth program. They were the only two kids in Sunday school class, so the elderly people got them saved and baptized in water, and they just loved on those boys like prized possession. But the eldest boy was just about as cross-eyed could get. I mean, it was so bad that when he looked into your eyes went cross too. I heard the pastor saying, this coming Sunday, Brother Maloney will have a healing miracle service, so come on out. Expect your miracle. When I sat down in disgust, this boy thought his opportunity was passing him by. Without asking anyone, he just came forward and stood there, right in front of the pulpit, not saying anything, just staring at me and the pastor. After a few seconds, I figured I better find out what he wanted, so I got up and leaned over the pulpit to see him better. He looked up at me. His eyes were crossed. My eyes went crossed and started to water. I asked the most ridiculous question a minister has ever asked behind a pulpit before. What would you like Jesus to do for you? Well, what do you think? He stared at me. I want to see straight. At first, I didn't feel any anointing because I was angry at the people leaving. But I remember stepping down off the platform, and he shut his eyes, eagerly awaiting his miracle. Compassion suddenly flowed out of my spirit, and I prayed for him for about 30 seconds. When he looked up at me, his eyes were as straight as could be. Now, I can be a little spiteful sometimes, and I can't say that I was being led by the Lord here, but I spun that kid around and yelled, all of you stop! Turn around! Look at what God has done for this boy in spite of you! I'm convinced it was the only time that church came together in one mind and in one accord. Everyone stopped and turned in unison, staring. Just dead silence with gaping mouths. It was hilarious. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I see this walker go flying in the air and land on the stage. On the other side, this cane went spinning. And like little children, they all began crying out to God and started running to the front. Jesus! 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 We were there until about 2:45 that afternoon, We had a good old-fashioned Pentecostal revival meeting, complete with tremendous miracles and healings. God danced among his people for hours. Hey, forget about Wyatt's cafeteria. Now, what do you think the parents must have thought when those two little boys went back home? Mom, Dad, look what Jesus did for me. I wish I could tell you. They softened their hearts and said, let's go find out about this preacher and about this Jesus. But the pastor told me, a few months later, from that moment forward, those little boys were not permitted to step foot into the church again. How terribly sad. It pains me to say that that was a confrontational miracle. But, my friends, I won't apologize for it. In God's eyes, there is no middle of the road. You're either for him or you're against him. Isn't that what Jesus said? Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You either gather with me or you scatter. And that makes us think of everything we do every day. What are we doing? Are we gathering for Jesus or are we scattering? That was a great story. I thank you, Lord, for that, and I thank you for that anointing that you've put on Dr. James Maloney. The experience and the life stories he tells us can change our life. It can turn us around, give us a new hope, a new confidence that God is still working for us. He's still intervening in our lives, and what he did way back in Jesus' time, he's still doing today, and he can do it for you. Wouldn't you want that for you today? Let me pray for you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this time on the radio, to broadcast your message and tell these stories. My Father and my Savior, I love you, and I thank you so much for it. And Lord, I want you to go out into the airwaves where we're broadcasting today and reach into those hearts, touch those hearts and minds, and reveal yourself, your sweet spirit. And Lord God, I ask you to heal bodies in the sound of my voice today. Do a miracle work in these bodies today, those cross eyes today, to be made straight. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, and glory forever. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Today, my friend, we are going back to Dr. James Maloney's book. The book is titled The Dancing Hand of God. That's exactly what it does. I'd like to start today with a story out of The Dancing Hand of God. It's called The Girl in Long Sleeves. And here we go. There was a young lady who had been saved just a few weeks before in this meeting I was in Colorado. The word of the Lord came upon me. When I looked at her, I felt the hand of God impress deeply upon me, and I sensed a burden for this woman. I called her up, and she stood in front of me. I found out later she had never received a prophetic word before. Have you, my friend? Well, it's in the Bible. It's scriptural. Well, he goes on to say, I opened my mouth to release this burden and said, 4 years ago, you attempted to take your life. That is a very bold statement, I know. Normally when I have a word of this nature, something that specific about a person's problem, I usually keep it quiet until I can share it with them privately so as not to embarrass them in front of people. But in this case, I felt the Holy Spirit gave me liberty to share the word publicly because most of the people knew who she was and knew her testimony. I had never met her before, but I continued, you tried to take your life because your father committed incest against you. It was graphic, but it just began to roll out of my spirit. I described the picture I saw in my mind. You took a razor blade and you slit your wrist several times. You were in the bathroom and your parents came home in the nick of time to wrap your wrists and rush you to the emergency ward. You spent the last 4 years in drug addiction, living in a crack house. Friends,
How many of you know when you give a word that specific, you're either right or you're wrong? She began to sob, and people around her began to weep because they knew her. But just a couple weeks ago, a friend of yours, who happened to be standing next to her, led you into a saving knowledge of Jesus, and you've learned that if Jesus has forgiven you of your sins, you also had to forgive your earthly father of his sins committed against you. And so you made that conscious decision to forgive him not too long ago. The Lord wants you to know that he is going to restore that sense of esteem, that all of those hurts and all those wounds will be healed. You will be able to look back without pain. And the Lord says, I will remove all evidence of reproach of what you went through. When I said that, she felt the power of God move through her wrists. She was wearing a long sweater because it was rather cold in the Rockies, but that didn't matter what time of year it was. She always wore long sleeve shirts or sweaters because she had several huge puffy scars on each wrist. Obviously, she was embarrassed because she knew that if people saw the scars, they would instantly know they were self-inflicted and that she had tried to commit suicide. Those kinds of precise gashes on the wrist don't come by accidentally. But spontaneously now, she pulled up her sweater sleeves and stuck her wrists out in front of everyone. We all stared at those horrible gashes, symbols of the reproach in her life. They were unnerving to look at until, instantly, in front of everyone's eyes, the scars vanished. Pandemonium broke out. People began to sob and weep. That young lady was released from her past. She had a glimpse of just how much God thought of her. She was important to him. He needed her, and he wanted her made whole. Oh, praise God. See, a prophetic word can release destiny when God's hand dances over you, pressing that burden down upon you. We need the fire of God to fall. We need those kind of fire miracles, and we're not going to get them until the burden of the Lord is experienced. This is one of the great keys to apostolic release. I want to continue on in Dr. James Maloney's book, The Dancing Hand of God. I've been to some of his meetings, and they're a wonderful experience, and it's just wonderful to feel the presence of God in those meetings and see God's Spirit working on this great man, and I thank the Lord for him today. So as I continue on in this book, I'm going to another section called The Cerebral Palsy Girl. Several years after the above testimony, I was ministering in this one particular home meeting where parents brought their little girl, approximately 5 years of age, and one could immediately see that she was afflicted by cerebral palsy. The parents loved that little girl wholeheartedly, yet understandably, they were devastated by her suffering. The little dear's equilibrium was off balance, and she would wobble when she walked, among all the other disorders with the disease. It was terrible to behold this amazing little creature who was forced to struggle with such a pervasive ailment. She would topple over, seemingly always dizzy. My heart seemed rent in two, and I felt this flow of compassion rush out to her. As I went to lay hands upon her, the Holy Spirit checked me, and I was impressed by him. She doesn't need prayer. She needs you to pick her up and just love on her. So I gathered her up in my arms and turned my back on the congregation. I cradled her and just loved her, my spirit oozing out this burdensome feeling of compassion. Apparently someone in the group was timing this occurrence, for they told me later I had held her in my arms for 15 minutes. It didn't seem that long to me. All of this love and compassion poured out of my spirit during that quarter of an hour. It just seemed to cover over her. And the more she soaked it up, the more it continued to build until finally it would burst. I felt it would burst. I didn't pray one word over her. Suddenly, I felt the flow of love empty.
I turned to face the parents, my face beaming. I placed the little girl on her feet and said, "You run to Mommy and Daddy." And the little girl ran in a perfectly straight line to her parents. Of course, the whole house fell into rejoicing. I recall a few weeks later returning near the area of that home meeting and encountering the parents in the church parking lot. They said their dear daughter had been healed of cerebral palsy and could now even climb trees. They gave God all the glory, and I shouted his praise too. Hallelujah! Can you see why it pays to follow the divine flow of love? My friend, that's what we need in our when we meet in churches and groups. We need to feel the presence of God. We need to experience the presence of God in our heart and lives.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More loving, less hatred in race and creed. Soul stirring preachers, that's what we need.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
People try so hard to find the way to gain some peace of you worry, don't you cry, and don't you be upset. Minimize regret, 'cause it's time to be changing. Don't you worry, don't you waste the time on doubts and fears. That time is drawing near, and it's time to be changing.
So hard and all so long, but midst the storm I felt a calm. It was your touch that brought me through it all. Without your help I'd surely fall.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.